Tonight, I was aiming to preach for something else, but I believe that the Lord wants me to preach this tonight, or speak on it tonight. But I want to speak about a construction company and the building that this construction company will build, and for what it stands for, and as it's being built. Now, we know that as far as we can go out here to maybe to dig a ditch or lay some pipes or do some other work here at the church on the outside, first of all, we have got to bring it up before the church. The church has to vote on it. And then the trustees, they have to make sure that we got the money. And we also got to make sure that we got the right permits to do the work. Now, in having the right permits, we have to have certain type of permits. If you're going to get a permit to put in more drainage, that's what we got to do. We got to get a permit to put in the more drainage. If we get a permit, if we want to put up another building, we've got to get a permit to put up a building. And putting up a building, you've got to have a footing. And in that footing, you have to go ahead and you have to dig it. It has to be so many inches deep, and it has to be a certain width to it. But as you have dug the ditch and everything, and you done got the footing ready to be poured for the concrete and everything, but before you can call the concrete company to have them to come and put the concrete in the footing, you have to end up calling the inspector. If the inspector is with the county or with the city, or whoever who it is, we have to get in contact. We have to get in contact with them first. And they have to come out and they have to look it over. They have to look and see if it's deep enough. And as they see where it's deep enough, then they got to look and see how wide it is. And you got your width and you got your depth. Oh, that's fine. But then you got to have rebar put in place around it. So if when they put concrete is put in there, the rebar will, with the concrete and the rebar, it will be put together where the rebar can hold it together. It won't just come apart. I know that sometimes we have went out and even I can remember in the old days when my granddaddy was living, he'd go out and if he had to maybe put up a little small footing or something like that to plant some posts or something like that, he'd just go and dig a hole and he'd put it in there and he'd just pour the concrete in there. He'd mix it up and just pour it in there. He wouldn't have no support than in the concrete. And we're saying that we have to have support. I have to, being the pastor and being the under shepherd here, I have to have the support of the congregation. And not only do I need the support of the congregation, but you also need the support that I can give you, that we can lift up one another. Now, digging the footing and going to the place, the building inspector, he said, well, it's okay, you pass now. You go on, and you go on to pour the concrete. You go on to pour the concrete, and then when you pour the concrete, you'll pour a slab. You got to call him back out and let him inspect that slab. Each stage has got a point in it that you have to call the inspector to where he can inspect it and he can give the approval of it. Same way with the Lord. When we do anything for the Lord, we must go to Him and we must say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? I want you to go to Him and visit somebody. I want you to go visit so and so. Then I go and I knock on the doors and everything. Then I just go in there and I just speak to them and I just tell them, I say, well, I see where you moved in the community and everything, and I'm just letting you know, glad you in the community with us and everything. And if I don't say anything else, if I don't tell them who I am, then they're going to go back and they're going to look, well, what did he come for? I mean, I can tell them, yeah, I'm the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. That's all I have to say. I don't have to go in and tell them and ask them, are they saved? They know if they're saved or not. It's a whole lot of people out here today that thinks that they're saved, but they're really not. And they know it. They know they're just trying to get by with it. They think that they got all the time in the world. Just like this past Sunday, even today, we could go into the paper and we could look at the obituary column. No doubt it was people there maybe said the same thing last week. Says, you know, I got plenty of time. I got plenty of times to get this off of my chest. I got plenty of time to go and tell my loved ones that I love them. I got plenty of time to where I can, if I get better, I can be able to go back to church. That's what they was thinking. But where they at today? We read the names in the obituary column today. They don't have another opportunity to go to the individual and tell them that they love them. They don't have another opportunity where they can come and worship with the people in church. We must take every advantage that the Lord Jesus gives us to do what we need to do. That we need to, if we have got a loved one that we haven't been to lately, or in the last year or two, and told them that we love them and we care for them and we would love to see them in church. And you don't have to go in. You don't have to go into all this quoting verses of scripture and everything. On that right there is enough. If they know that you love them, and if you just say, I wished you was in church, I'm going to pray for you. That's all you got to say. And they know that. They know that. We know what the scripture says. Over here in, let's see. If I can find it. Oh, man. I ain't going to be able to find it. I sure will. Tonight. But oh, it says right here in chapter 5 in the book of John. Chapter 5 and verse 39. It says, search the scripture. We need to search God's word, and God's word would tell us what we need to do. And we need to do it. We do not have that much longer. We don't have that much longer to do what we've got to do. If we've got a loved one out here that we haven't went to and spoke to because of hard feelings or whatever, we need to go. Because we don't have long. I mean, how many of you believe within your own soul right now, you can speak out and say, I know I got plenty of time. I got to the first of the year. And I can think about it between now and the first of the year and what I'm going to say to them. Hey, we can raise a hand, yeah. But we're raising our hands out of foolishness. Because God's word says today is the day. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Every individual has that. They have got it. They've got, either got it in the ladies have either got it in their pocketbooks, or they got it on the wrist. The men's got it on their wrist, or they got it on a pocket chain, chain and everything. But they have got God's word right there. If we would look at it and realize that's what it is, God's word, because God's word says, I never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In other words, what he's saying is, what you get today, you'll get it hereafter. I do not change. Today is a day of salvation. Because have you ever heard anybody say, well, after midnight and everything, or when you get up in the morning and everything, and you get ready to go to work, you may have to be at work at 8 o'clock, and you get up and you fix you some coffee and everything, you get you some coffee, and then you get in your automobile and you get to work and everything. Do you tell the people, say, well, what are we going to do tomorrow? No. They're going to say, what have we got to do today? What have we got to do today? We got to do the Lord's work. That's what God wants us to do. We have got to do the Lord's work at all cost. Yes, I have a brother that's lost. He won't even call me. He won't even speak to me. He goes and he sees my mother and he asks her about me. But he stays, when he's not working, he stays on a golf course. And I've been to his house and I've talked to him before. But everything he's interested in, it's either golf or it's either the alcoholic beverage. And he knows exactly what his brother died with. He knows it, the brother that was right behind me and what he died with. He died because he was an alcoholic. And he took drugs. That's what ate away his liver. That's the reason he died at, I think, 54 or 55 years old. Because of that. And I told him, I said, well, David, I says, if you keep on going the way you're going, I'm going to probably end up at your funeral, sir. He said, you're older than I am. He said, I'm 8 years younger than you are.
You'll go before I go. Not necessarily.
The only way that I believe that I'll end up going before he goes or before anyone else goes is if I have to turn my back on God. If I turn my back on God. If I turn my back on you. That the Lord gave me. And if I turn my back on Faith Baptist Church. If I turn my back against God. And if I do not even come back to the church and repent and ask for forgiveness and ask the church to please forgive me because I was wrong. Forgive me. But people don't want to do that. People would not even come back to the church if they knew that they had to come in the door, that they need to come in the door and ask for forgiveness. Hey, I'm not above anybody else. The Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is what? Death. That's the reason I will die early if I sin against God and if I do not come and ask Him for forgiveness and come back to the church and ask the church for forgiveness. That's the way it has to be done. And these individuals that says, well, I ain't going back to church down there because so-and-so hurt me. Somebody, I don't know who it was, but somebody's told the preacher of something about me. So I can't go back down there. Well, I would not allow something like that get in my way of the Lord blessing me. Hey, if we get tired and distracted about what's going on today, yeah, we can go home a whole lot earlier and we don't have to commit suicide. Not by no gun, not by no rope or hanging ourselves, anything like that. But when you sin against God and when you do not come back to God and ask for forgiveness of that sin and come to the church and ask the church to forgive you, you are committed suicide. But that is the only type of suicide because that is a suicide unto death. I mean, what can we do? This week alone, I have questioned myself. I have asked God, I said, God, what is the matter with people today? Lord, you know that I love the people. You know that I want to see them flourish. You know that I want to see every one of them have a better job. I want to see every one of them do better in life. Yeah, I'd like to see them get a brand new car. What's wrong? I don't care about a new car. Lord, you don't have to give me no new car. But if you want to give any individual over there a better car than what they got, for them to come back to church, give them the better car. I can still ride around mine. Give them the better car. I said, Lord, I can say this, and I believe I can say it with all honesty. And with sincerity. is that when this church got together back in, even when it was 51 years ago, and y'all was right here in the little pink building that I've heard some of y'all talk about. I don't know what the name of what y'all named it back then, but I do know this. Back in that day, you had preachers that would get up here and preach, and they would call sin by its name. They would not go and look sin up in the book to put this particular type of sin and come up what the Webster Dictionary would call it today. No, they call it exactly what the Bible says. If you drank liquor, you're a drunkard. If you went out here running around on your wife or running around on your husband or something like that, then, hey, he said, well, they're out here running around. What's running around? I mean, I can imagine some of them saying, what in the world are they talking about? Running around. I mean, hallelujah. We have somebody running around in the church. Every time we come to church, they'll get up and they'll start shouting and they'll just run in circles around in the church. But no. Living in sin. And fornication. Adultery. And they would call the people out and say, uh-uh. Not going here. Not going to go on here. I wonder. I wonder how many churches that we know of, that we can call the names. We can call the names of many churches. But how many churches could we probably say that, yes, they are not a New Testament church. They do not believe in what the New Testament church is all about. They don't believe what the Scripture says. They don't believe that as far as a deacon, you have to be called. And you have to be submissive unto God. I know you have one. I mean, you got some of my here says, well, you know, my wife's going to be submissive to me. She's going to do what I say do or else. That's not right. But you know, sin is sin. Search the Scripture. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. That's the only way we're going to ever find out if we have eternal life is search the Scripture. Hey, I can come back there and I can say, you know, you got the eternal life. The only thing I'm doing, I'm telling you my thoughts on it. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart either. But we need to think about the Scripture and what we read. We need to think about the Scripture and what the Scripture is really saying to us. Sometimes the Scripture plainly tells us exactly what we need to do. It says right here in verse 28, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which at all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Hey, we know that Jesus Christ, he was there put in a borrowed tomb there, and a great big old stone was rolled in front of that entrance there. The individuals like that in the grave, where their body, they've been out there, and the body is turned to dust. What does it say in the book of Genesis? What did he say? He said, formed man out of the dust of the earth. Same thing is going to happen in the grave. Before they can come forth out of that grave, they got to hear from somebody. And just told you, they will hear his voice. And when they hear his voice, they will immediately turn from the dust that is there. And they will come forth out of the grave. And we that are remaining, we that are still here and remain, I believe that we're going to see them rise out of the grave. Because it says after that, then we will catch up with them. They're not going to come out of that grave, and they're not going to get to heaven before we get there. No. Praise God when they're raised from the dead. Hallelujah. And the ones in which remain and alive and well, we're going to be meeting them in the air. That's what the scripture says. And I have to go by what the scripture says. Not by what man said and by what some theologian said. I have to go by what the scripture says. That's what the scripture says, and I believe it. People don't believe it, that's their fault. Search the scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Verse 40 says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, ye will receive. That's just like that. That's the reason people today, they don't want to come. They don't want to come to the house of God because they don't want to have the Word of God to penetrate their heart. They don't want the Holy Spirit in teaching them what they need to know. That's the reason they won't come. But yet, they don't come, but yet they're standing outside. And they'll stay at the house or they'll go to the mall or somewhere like that. And they'll get caught up with somebody else. It teaches them something a little different. And then they believe it. They'd rather believe a lie than the truth. But I'd a whole lot rather hear the truth than hear the lie, because the truth will set you free. A lie don't do nothing but condemns you. It's all it does. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. I don't understand how people today can come around and say, I don't see how they can come into church, just come in once in a while and sing Amazing Grace, because they don't know what the song really means. They can't know. How can they come in here and sing about the victory of Jesus? Because they've never come in to where they can actually sing it, to where they can understand. Because they've never had the victory that can only come through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, today, I'm more convinced today than I have ever before that I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ should have stepped out of the cloud. And I believe the angel that is in heaven, just right by side to side, it's going to blow the trumpet. I believe he's got the trumpet. And he's got that trumpet positioned in a way to where he goes up like this. And I believe that the, whatever it's called, the mouthpiece of that trumpet is touching his lips. The only thing now needs to happen is his lungs need to expand and then extract to where they have with this trumpet. I believe we're just as close to night as a weather. I may not even wake up in the morning. If I wake up in the morning and I'm on the other side, and if I'm at the feet of Jesus, hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. You know, I'm not going to have to worry about these legs. I ain't going to have to worry about these lungs. I ain't going to have to worry about even getting hoarse, because I'm going to be there just praising the Lord, thanking him for what he's done. And I've had people ask and say, well, how are you going to recognize the Lord when you get there? With all the people that's going, I know that everybody's not going, but with the million people that's going to be there, how are you going to recognize that the one you bow down to is the Lord? Is he going to have a robe on? Is he going to have a crown on and all that? I said, I don't know about all of that. I said, but I do know one thing. The way the Christian is going to be able to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ is a scar that is about his forehead. And the scars that pierced his hands.
by them nailed. And both of his feet, when they was crossed, when that nail pierced both of our feet. And when the Roman soldiers went to make sure that it was already dead, they was going to go and break his legs. But they couldn't break his legs because it had already been said back in the book of Deuteronomy that there will not be a bone broken. He said his sword that pierced his side. And when he pierced his side, that is what I believe it really done in him. Because it was water. It was blood came forth. And some people even say today that his heart was pierced by the soul. I don't know. I will say this. I almost would believe, and can't nobody say it one didn't happen, and I can't say it didn't happen the other way either. But what I promised with my life, I broke his heart. We break his heart every day. But he mends it back to God. And as we break his heart, our heart ends up being broken. And he will mend our heart back together. He will put the pieces back like they've never been touched. Why? Because that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one that I serve. That's the one that I serve today. That's the one that I've been serving for the last 36 years now. And my prayer is, unless my mind goes, and I start doing some crazy stuff, I hope and pray that I still have the right mind to still say that he is the one that saved me. He's the one that I love. People don't understand that. If they would just grasp hold of that, if they would just grasp the hold of what you believe, that you know that God loves you, and he loves you that much that he went to the cross for you. We need to show it more than we ever have. But the people don't want it. Say, oh, I got all the time in the world. One day time runs out. Time does run out. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, we pray. Father, for each one of the individuals that come out tonight, Lord, my prayer is that, Father, as we search out the Scripture, Father, the Holy Spirit will teach us exactly what it says and what it's saying to our hearts. That, Father, we may be able to go out and take it with us into the world, within the people that we come in contact with. Father, that we know exactly what the Scripture says. And Father, it's not that we have to go out there and browbeat to people. We don't have to do that. We don't have to quote Scripture and all of this. We just have to show up with a smile. And just let them know that we're from the church. We'd love to see them come. And we're praying for them. That's all we have to do. We don't have to say anything else to them, because they know what their life is. They know it better than I love them. And Father, you know what they need at the very moment that the Holy Spirit speaks to them. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.